Good evening. How are you all feeling today? Yeah, other than hot, I'm all glad you're ready for more because I'm very excited about what I feel God's going to do with us in this couple of meetings. Tomorrow, is anybody not going to be here tomorrow? You're not going to be here tomorrow, okay? What I would suggest you do is get the CD. I'm going to talk on the Spirit of Wisdom tomorrow, so you really need to engage it because I think that it's liable to do something to your head, which is very good because it did it to my head. And so if it's done it to my head, then I enjoyed it. Then I know that it'll do to your head and hopefully you enjoy it as well. Anyway, one of the things that I always know about the kingdom is that there is a protocol and process that the Father really loves to work with us through so that we learn about his kingdom. I've never found in my personal life, walk with God over 32 years, that everything has ever come by somebody laying hands on me and come by impartation. That which has come by impartation is gone just as quick as it's come. Unless I've worked on it for the next 6 months and worked it out, what I was actually given from the impartation that occurred. And so what we've got is we've got a lot of people going around from conference to conference getting impartation, expecting that the impartation is going to carry them and not, so they don't have to do any of the work related to engaging what was given by the impartation. Because we think that everything's free. But I've got some real bad news for you. The only thing that's free is Jesus. All the rest is hard work. And so I know there's consequences for things that go on around our lives. There's always consequences for our decisions. We got a lovely family, and I part of my process as a dad was when my children were this old, I used to take them with me, and I would go into the kingdom world. And I would step into the world of my father because they can see it. They just don't have the protocol and wherewithal to actually talk about what they're seeing or express it, except that I would go in and I'll be seeing stuff, and my kids would be going, looking at the same things I'm looking at. And then what I was able to do was to keep them open to that world. And our times around the dinner table became fantastic times because all we would do is talk about kingdom. We'd talk about spirit stuff, like real spirit stuff. We'd talk about angels and walking in Eden. And my son, it was a really interesting situation because I'd taught about Eden about 10 years ago and I talked to people how to go there and all that stuff. And my son was at the dinner table and he just started saying, Dad, you know that golden mountain that's past those other mountains in Egypt? You know where God comes off the throne and he steps down and you got all these things going on there? And he started describing to me what was going on. I'm going, no. He says, well, you know where you went? Well, further than that, you know, down there. And I'm kind of like, further than me? So I went and had a look and sure enough, everything he talked about was there and more. And so what I do know is that the gift of God's grace to us to move into the areas that are beyond our years of experience is so amazing. Because God will take you there and show you things and allow you to explore without the consequences of responsibility. Okay? Everything that God does, there's always is about responsibility. But when you're a child, you're able to walk around without the consequences of the responsibility. Because it's not just about having a happy, clappy time in heaven. You know, we kind of think that all we're going to do all day is go, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah, Jesus, before the throne. Well, you're going to do that on some days. But all the rest, you have responsibility. Because it's rather a big place. And our job is to rule all of that. That's why Jesus is the King of Kings. So kings mean a ruler. So if he's the King of many kings, then actually it means that there's many kings that have got to be raised up to rule. And if we're bearing our Father's image and going to do the same things he does and he rules, we better get used to ruling. Deaf and dumb spirit, break your power in the name of Jesus. I don't think I'm talking too fast yet. So there's a number of things that I found that have been very helpful for me. You know, the Bible says this, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. In the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Like in. the Holy Ghost. So to get righteousness, peace, and joy, you've got to go in the Holy Ghost. So I've done a bit of a teaching on it. I'm just going to start with a little bit of that first before I get into what I'm going to talk about. And so I can remember reading that thinking, I've got to be in him. Like if it says in, it really means in. Not just in the state of, but actually into. So when you look at the Greek word isis, which means into, which is what means in is from, it means into the Holy Spirit. So it means I had to step into the Holy Spirit. And because I really believe in doing physical things that empower the natural world and give me an anchor to retain revelation on, because that's how we learn as a human being, as we accumulate the present, must be measured against the past experience, so that the past experience that we have then becomes an anchor for revelation. Then revelation becomes our experience, not our past experience. Yeah, I do teaching the human brain. Get it? Just helps you get some of the stuff. And so, because I believe in the physical aspect of my body being involved in what I'm doing, not just my spirit man having a nice time with Jesus, my body needs to get involved. So my temple, my body, soul, spirit is all in line with a desire that's set like a rudder to engage the kingdom, to release it on my behalf. So I can retain a reality that isn't there, and calling those things which aren't that are as if they were, I've got to actually do some action. Right? And so what I did is I got a wetsuit. You know what a wetsuit is? Perhaps you don't. Okay, it's a piece of duralium material that is like sponge that you put over your body to keep you warm. Right, so if you go surfing, you know what a wetsuit is. If you go diving, you know what a wetsuit is. Well, you also have something called a dry suit, which isn't as hard to put on as a wetsuit because it's dry. It's called a wetsuit because it gets wet and it's really difficult to take off. Once you got it on, it's also really a pain in the butt to put it on, especially if you're wet. And so I can remember getting this wetsuit because I want to be in the Holy Spirit. So I climb into my wetsuit. I mean, it's a horrible thing to get into. Like everything's in the wrong place. They got the zip at the back. You try and get the zip. I mean, give me a, I'm a male. Don't have that ambidextrous thing that you can touch the tailbone with from the top. Doesn't work like that for me. And so I can remember climbing into this wetsuit thinking, I'm in the Holy Spirit. I'm in righteousness, joy, and peace. And by the time I got the wetsuit on, I was sweating like a pig because it's pretty hot in a wetsuit. And then I had to take it off. You know, something is rather difficult to take a wetsuit off by yourself when you're sweating and actually everything sticks to you. Because you've got to undo the zip from the back and then you've got to get this blasted thing open to try and get out, and you're going like this. I mean, you sweat just trying to get it off. And so, but there was an amazing experience for me actually being into that suit and thinking in my mind, I wonder if this is what it's like to be in righteousness, joy, and peace, the three skins of the Holy Spirit.
Three skins of the Holy Spirit.
See, just like you've got three layers of skin. You physically have got three layers of skin. It's a scientific fact. It's not a mystery. It's not in the Bible. It's just a scientific fact. Because it's a fact, I believe it, from the scientists. Just because it's not in the Bible doesn't mean to say it's not a fact. Okay, but God did put skins on Adam. He didn't kill a little sheepy and put the sheepy skin on Adam. Because when Adam's body was inside his spirit, he didn't need skin because his spirit and blood and body was glory. And it wasn't until Adam sinned that the spirit went inside that the body congealed light became blood. And then God had to put skins on Adam. Just making sure we get this doctrine right. Skins, three of them on the outside. So if we've got three and we are in the image of God, then surely God must have three. Okay. So there's a bit of a problem because there's three in the three. So they must all have three each. Yeah. It's true. But I had to climb into the Holy Spirit first, because once I'm in the Holy Spirit, then I can climb into Jesus. You see, in Ezekiel 28, if Satan's got 9 stones on his body as a covering, then there must be 9 coverings. Right? And so you add their 9 together plus your 3, body, soul, spirit, makes 12. That's why you had to have a breastplate with 12 stones on. Because you administrate out of all of that. I do a teaching on the cherubim, what they are and who he was and what happened around the throne there and what the function of the cherubim, what happened, Bob. Just get the CD. I'm not going to go through all that stuff. But if I don't climb into the Holy Spirit, I cannot access the way of Christ. And so Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Funny how it's 3. And so once I climbed into the Holy Spirit and got that Witskin thing on, I spent the next 3 or 4 months practicing. Father, I step into the Holy Spirit. I skin myself with a wetsuit called righteousness. It makes you get drunk really quickly. You don't need somebody going along, get drunk. You just get drunk by going into who he is. And so I climbed into the Holy Spirit. I spent 6 months practicing this thing, getting in, fitting into it until it became a reality around me. So now here's the problem for the devil. Because he has to go through 3 outer skins to even get to me. But unless I'm in the skin, the provision that was given to me in the skin is not my protection. So you've got to get into it. It doesn't come by shiny, bunny, blessing, sunny, all fine and Monday. You've got to get into it and actually do the work to engage the truth that is behind what God is asking and requiring us to do. If it means in, I've got to go in, and which means I've got to climb in. So I practiced it so I can get revelation about what I'm doing and what my covering is. And so then I began to climb into Jesus. The way. The truth. The life. Now there's even more of a problem for the devil, because he's now got 6 skins to go through before he even gets to me. And then the last one is, if I'm in Jesus, I'm in the Father. So it means I've got to climb into the Father. So what's the Father? Justice, judgment, and holiness. Justice. Judgment and holiness. 3 skins of the Father. So I spent the next 3 months climbing into the Father. But the Bible says I'm in. It means I'm really in. Actually, really, really in. If you believe it, that you're really in, you're really, really in. You know, so you've got the innies and the outies. I don't really want to be an outie. I want to be an innie. See, because then if I'm really in and I've got 9 skins, then there's a real problem for the devil. Because he's got 9 skins to bore through before he even gets access to me. I think that sounds like some protective covering, doesn't it? See, but we're busy going, quack, breastplate of righteousness, quack, belt of truth, quack, sounds of preparation and gospel, quack, shield of faith, quack, sword of the spirit. We think that that's going to be our protection. And the Bible says that's armor for the evil day. We're not living in the evil day yet. The evil day is God's visitation on the earth. So why do you do something? Because you're told to do it. You can teach a parrot to do the same thing. But there is an armor in which I do teach about, which is in the first part of Ephesians 6 there, which says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's our job today. So you've got to put on the strength of God and the power of his might, which is 2 things, which open up an ark, which releases the glory on your behalf. That's how you can stand against the secret, subtle, deceptive attack, which is what the wile of a devil is. Christianity 101 here, folks. Just ground-based stuff. Because we need to walk into some of these things and experience them before that reality can form a shadow in your life. And so with the Holy Spirit, the first thing is the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. I want to talk about that tonight. The other stuff was just preamble to me to get here. Just that I thought it would be helpful for you, because I found these things very helpful for me. And I know if it helps me and you engage it, it's going to help you. Once you've engaged it, do your own stuff, get your own experience, and stop sharing mine. Go and talk about what you've experienced by doing some of this stuff yourself. By all means, use the gate, which is what the four corners are all about. Use my four corners, go into it, and then begin to engage it yourself until it becomes your life. I really do. I'm a little bit serious about this, and I get really annoyed. But I have people who take my stuff and preach it word for word and say it's their stuff. It's really weird. I don't know why people do that. I don't mind if they own it and they've worked with it and it's their stuff and they have the full experience of it, but don't just teach knowledge. You know why they do it? Because it looks spiritual. Listen, that's a false covering. I don't want any other coverings other than those nine skins. So righteousness is a very, very interesting little thing. For me, righteousness is like the petrol in a car. It's the power that is behind our lives. It's the reason why we can do what we do. It's because it's come from the Father, and the only way to find it is from the Father. You can't stand down here and try and... I mean, I have people who, you know, bless them. They spend 3 weeks fasting before a conference so that I can't see their stuff. I'm serious. Don't worry about it. Your stuff can be seen anyway. I'd rather you spend that time engaging God to build intimacy with Him than trying to deal with your stuff by you doing that to come to a conference. I'm serious. That's what people do. It's because they know you can see and they think, oh, I wonder what he's going to think about it. Listen, I don't think about you at all. That's God's business. You know, you're not my problem. You really aren't. You know, people say to me, how can you handle seeing all this stuff? Well, it's easy. I just don't engage it. I don't go to all you. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. And talk about your stuff. Hi, good to see you today. Hi, great. I mean, if you're walking, have anybody ever been to Singapore and walked down the street in Singapore? And you stop at a stoplight? And there's 3,500 people the other side of the stoplight all coming towards you. And they're like ants. They go, and then it's all clear. I mean, how does that happen? But I don't go to every person that's coming towards me and go, hi, 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 hi. You know, Nishini, I mean, you don't do that stuff. It just drives you nuts. And so what I've learned you to do is just ignore it. So what? Who cares? That's God's business. At least he goes, Ian, I need you to deal with that. And then I focus on it, and then it's like, then opportunity comes to engage it. It's not a problem. See, because I don't see people, but I do. I don't see necessarily see them. I see the ring of the power of eternity, the seat of government, the gold of the glory within them, the crowns they carry, the mantles they carry, what comes out of them, emanation of the frequency, the mathematical equation, the scroll of destiny, how much is them. I see all that stuff. But I don't go, oh, hi, look at all that. What's going on here inside you? I mean, who cares a hill of beans? Because here's the thing, in theory, she can do the same thing because all I'm doing is seeing what the Father's seeing. So love covers a multitude of sin. Sorry. It got a bit hot there, did it? Aircon. Glory. And so, she's not embarrassed at all, eh? She's just bright red. See, if righteousness can come from the Father, then we need to go where the Father can give it to us. And so, there's a couple of scriptures I want to read here. In Matthew 6:31, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now, I want to talk about this. Listen, Righteousness is not about your righteousness. The only way you can have righteousness is from Him. That's why it says you've got to engage the kingdom first and His righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. So we have a problem in church because we like going backwards. We want all the things first. Because it makes us look spiritual. It makes gives us some platform of acceptance because we can do signs and wonders and we can flop around the floor and go, ha ha ha, whatever goes on, and it's all good. Because you're powerful enough to make a decision yourself on what's good and what isn't. The reality is that we start backwards. Instead of engaging the kingdom world of His government, which is what His kingdom's all about. So the kingdom of God is within me. So it means a kingdom that God wants to establish is the flow of that government through my life being precipitated into this world to release the kingdom world so that that has somewhere to sit in and around my life. So remember, you've got the seven layers. You've got the kingdom of the earth, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and of heavens, perfection and eternity. The seven layers in our dispensation of eternity that we live in that we're supposed to function up and down in. Most of us haven't even got off the kingdom of the earth yet. Because really, most of us don't really want to, because you don't really want to deal with our stuff that empowers us to go deeper. We want Him to do it all for us, and He has given the full provision for all that to happen. But you've got to engage the provision. And sometimes it means repenting. That word seek means to look for intently. So if it means seek first the kingdom of God, it means I've got to intently look at to engage a realm that is inside of me. Okay, let's just get this doctrine right here because some of you are sleepy. The kingdom of God is within you. So when the Bible says seek ye first the kingdom of God, it's saying look into intently the realm of government that is already established within you. You know, the Buddhists and all these other guys have nearly got it right. They center themselves. But they use a demon to do it. And they think about nothing. Big mistake, because nothing fills nothing, and then something fills nothing. See, once we engage the kingdom that is within us, this translates us into the world of the kingdom of heaven. It puts us there. That's why some of us have trouble going there, because we haven't engaged the provision of the platform that is living within us. And so I spent a year and a half engaging that kingdom world within me, understanding its function through my life. I spent 2.5 years dealing with my gateways. My spirit, soul, body gateways. So there's a flow from that which is in me to that which is on the outside of me. Knowing what it feels like, I spent another 6 months dividing my soul and spirit. It took me 21 days to divide my soul and spirit. People look at me. Listen, this is Christianity 101, people. Unless you get this stuff and work with it, you'll find your Christian life will be defeated. I do teaching, dividing your soul and spirit, which actually empowers you to become a spirit being because your soul is tied into your spirit and uses its life for itself. When the Bible says His righteousness, it's a very clear statement that I am not to seek my own righteousness, but rather His. Isn't it amazing how we go about trying to seek our own righteousness? Instead of engaging holiness. Remember, holiness is a choice. That's what you've got to seek. Righteousness is a gift that empowers holiness. So you've got to engage the gift. And the gift isn't found here going, Jesus, come down, Jesus, come down. It's found by going into His world and being unskinned from the false garbage you put on your life so He can cloak you with a new garment. Praise the Lord. Well, that's 22 minutes of one verse. It's really amazing. The word righteousness there has a really interesting connotation to it. It means giving the power of equity to someone. So let's talk about equity here for a minute, because we don't really understand it because of the human rights movement and the women's liberation movement and all that stuff. All good stuff, but wrong spirit motivation behind it, which has captured the thing and actually polluted it from what it should have really become. And so let's talk about equity. Equity means something like this, that if I was to have a physical fight with my sister, with all my faculties, my hands, my arms, all that stuff, generally, unless she knows something I don't know, I would generally win because my arms are a little bit bigger, my fist is a little bit bigger, I have a little bit more strength than what she has, right? There's no equity in that. What equity is supposed to produce is equality, which empowers a standing together the same. So if I was to have a fight with my sister to give her equity, I'd have to have my feet wrapped together, my arm tied around my back, and my elbow put here. So all I've got is this, which gives her equity, which means to make us on the same standing, right? Which empowers her to have equality, which then gives us a provision to be together. So it's like a husband. A husband's role is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself and died for her. But you don't hear men preaching that. You hear them go, woman, submit to me. That's a Jezebel spirit speaking right there. And when you do, you're trading with a Jezebel demon. Because what I do is I say to the woman that have husbands like that, husband, give me something to submit to. You see, and as men, we'll always point to that scripture first, usually because it's full of Ahab devils. Because they don't understand equity. Equity is given in love, where you lay your life down so another can have equality with you, so you can serve together. My wife is not underneath me. My wife stands right beside me. Never once in my life have I ever said to my wife, submit to me, woman. If you have, you got a devil and you need deliverance. I'm serious. I can remember being in a situation in Australia. Nothing's anything wrong with Australians, but we're not prejudiced in New Zealand. But you know, I was in Australia. It's really funny. You can get, you know, anyway, I won't go there. I won't go there. Not on tape. And so, but I was in Australia at this conference, and I had this pastor couple come to me and say to me, she came to me and said, Ian, we have this problem and I don't really know how to solve it. And I looked at the guy and I could see what the problem was. And he, first of all, didn't believe that Christians could have devils. And I went, oh, that's really interesting. And she said, oh, well, actually, there's times when we fight and he changes. And she said, I get really, really frightened by what I see when he changes. And the guy says, yeah, but we can work. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. If there's nothing wrong, you won't mind following me praying, will you? You know, of course, you've got a pastor now. Well, is there anything wrong with praying? Well, no. Okay. Well, would you mind following me in praying? If there's nothing wrong, then nothing will happen. So it's all good. Right? So I'm standing there. So I said to this guy, okay, I just want you to follow me in praying. And by then, I was like, looking at this thing, and it's looking at me, and I know what's going to happen. I win. So he goes, okay, I mean, religious, whatever. And so he says, okay. So I said to him, Father, in the name of Jesus. And he goes, Father, in the name of Jesus, I renounce. And the wife goes, Ian, that's it. That's the thing. That's it there. This guy was a pastor of a church of 2,500 people. So listen, it's just a broken part of someone's life that's been occupied by a spirit force that's got a reflection of itself in his life. Well, 30 seconds later, it just didn't have a reflection anymore. Subsequently, their marriage changed because he learned how to love his wife to give her equity. the whole church changed. I mean, this is, God does amazing things. You just got to deal with them in the right way and not be afraid of going, hey, I got junk, let's deal with it. Get into it. I don't know why I shared that. Anyway, somebody may need that. So equity. That's what I was doing. I was talking about equity. All that came from one of the word equity. Man, I'm going to be here for 4.5 hours if I carry on like this. Another word that the word righteousness means is innocence or just. When you return innocence to someone, it is as though nothing had ever gone wrong. And the only way to find that is in the realm of our Father. So we've got to go where that innocence can be restored to us. It won't be restored by you praying, Jesus, come down, Jesus, come down, Jesus, come down, Jesus, come down. Holy Spirit, come on me, Holy Spirit, come on me. It's just the power buzz that actually is supposed to empower you to go there. But we like the power buzz because you don't have to deal with that stuff when you go there and face actually that I'm not doing really what I should be doing. And so what happens is we end up in this mess. So what I've told people is we got to go where we can engage this innocence in the realm of the Father. And it just unlocks the whole process for us. Righteousness produces holiness, which releases the glory of God and produces a tangible reality of God through you and I into the earth as a reflection of what we have in heaven. Righteousness sanctifies us, it adjusts us and our behavioral patterns and the desires that dwell within us. I can remember working with a lady who was a prostitute. And I went into this other camp and she was there and the Lord showed. Usually I have one person that God shows me what I need to do with them. And so I knew I had to minister to this girl. I'm in this camp and, you know, we're praying with people and all that kind of stuff. And she wouldn't come near me. She wouldn't come around me. And so I made a point of getting as close to her as I could at meal times, just to get in the face of what was erupting inside her life. And so to understand her background, when she was 3, she was fostered out. Her mother was a drug addict. She was fostered out from the age of 6. She was sexually abused from family to family to family. And so to hide away from the pain, she got into a fantasy world where she had a friend that would come into her room and her friend would comfort her. Until it came to the point when she was 14 and she said to this friend, let's make a marriage contract together so you can protect me. So she bought a ring and she married this friend, which was a demon. In a private place with herself, wore the ring on her finger. Of course, I can see the spirit connected in the soul tie to her finger and all that stuff. And so now what happens then is she would get home and now that demon spirit would begin to molest her at night. And all the stuff's going on. All right. And so she gets born again and she does not know what to do. So she comes to this camp. Good choice. Because this thing would tell her what to do, when to do it, how to do it. If it wouldn't, it would throw her around the room. And it used her body as a contract to get seed from men to trade in the stars. Wow. That's what prostitution is, by the way. It's a trading and a demonic platform that's in the stars. Wow. Where your seed is traded into something else. You don't really want to even go there. And so, I got with this woman. And she said to me, Ian, I've watched you the whole time you were here. And there's something different about you. And I went, uh-huh. She says, you know everything, don't you? I went, uh-huh. And she says, you know what's wrong with me? I went, uh-huh. I said, the first thing is, you got a friend. You need to divorce. And she goes, how do you know about that? I said, because I can see it. She goes, oh, well, she didn't say the word I'm going to say, but oh, dunghill. So I just worked with her for about 2.5 hours, walked through a lot of her stuff, got her set free from the bondage of the demonic occupation. She was a Christian then, by the way, because she had asked Jesus into her life. That's what actually made the whole thing service. because Jesus doesn't like other gods living inside his temple, and he will quite happily boot them out if you give him half a chance to. And so I worked with her through all of that stuff. And then at the end of it, she said, Ian, I feel really weird. She said, I don't remember ever feeling that I can make a decision for myself. How do I learn to make my own decisions? Now, I gave her a whole lot of homework to do. She went home. She moved in with a pastor and his wife. And she worked on her life for a year. Dealing with stuff inside her life. Allowing Jesus to get into her life and transform her. And whenever she'd have trouble, she'd ring and say, Ian, I'm having trouble with this and this and this. I said, okay, honey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get into the realm of the kingdom. You know how to step in there. I've shown you what you do. She said, yep, I go in there all the time. I said, I want you to take that in there. And Jesus has got a great big stick. I want you to get him, get that stick and beat the snot out of it until he feels he's happy. She said, I can do that. And so she went away and she did all that stuff. And then I gave her a whole lot of other homework, which I was learning about, and CCDs and stuff. She worked through the whole thing. She got married. And she rang me and said, you know, there's something that I really know I can't give to my husband, and that's my purity, because it was robbed from me. You know, the Lord said to me, pray for it, Ian, that God would restore purity. And I was like, I'm not going to go there, Lord. And so I did this nice, fluffy, religious prayer, you know, that God would just bless you in your marriage and all that stuff. Put the phone down, and God said, excuse me? And I went, oh, dunghill. So I rang her up and I said, hey, listen. The Lord really spoke something to me, and I was a little bit embarrassed to talk to you about it, but I really believe that God needs to do something with you physically. If God can restore an arm, then I know he can bring your purity back. So I prayed for her, and then she got married, and then 6 weeks later, after the honeymoon, she rang me up very excited. And she said, Ian, when I first had my encounter with my husband, I bled, and it was like I had never ever had any engagement with any other man prior to my husband. Now, this is the power, this to me is the power of restoration. This is someone who was so broke. I mean, I don't know anybody in here I don't see so far that's been broken like that. But the issue, I'm sorry. But listen, when you've got stuff, you've just got to allow Jesus to get into it and then work on it. You've just got to work on it and allow him to do what he's got to do in the middle of it. And so righteousness gives us the power to receive innocence. Wow. Like innocence. Oh. As though it never ever happened. As though there was nothing prior to that experience of engaging righteousness. Yeah. And we can go into that. It's a gift from God to you and I. Righteousness restores innocence, thus destroying the enemy's access to any platform in our lives. I say to people, they come to me with all this stuff and, you know, whatever. And I say to them, listen, even when you're in the middle of your stuff, Jesus has given you access into his world. Because you don't come by your little brownie points. You come by faith. Because he's given you provision to destroy the yoke of that inordinate thing that's inside of your life. Yeah. And so I teach them to go in the middle of this stuff. Lord, I stand here and I strip the skin of this thing off my life and I receive impartation of righteousness in your kingdom while I stand here in the midst of your presence. And Lord, I bring that back into this world. And it's amazing how when you do that, how the thing that you were involved in actually loses its power. Because there's a gift that Jesus has given us that's sitting there waiting for us to enter into it so that we can engage the supply of what the Father has done in that realm for us. Righteousness has its basis on three major things. Number one is it joins us to the person of God. It's a gift. Sorry, four things. It's a gift. It's also an armor. And I do a teaching on being armored for battle. Get the CD. And it's also put into us. Righteousness has its basis in the very character and the actual nature of the person of God. The Bible says God is righteous and there's none above him. Just like a man and a woman become one flesh when they are married through their sexual union, righteousness becomes the very cord that ties us to Him, the power that holds us to His destiny for your life. Now the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 6:17, He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. Have you ever wondered what that really means? Oh my goodness. That little statement, fully realized on the face of earth, will totally change your life. Righteousness is the tie between you and the Father that engages you to be able to be joined to His presence for the rest of eternity. So let's talk about soul tie for a bit here. I won't go into what they all are from the other stuff. But there are good soul ties. This is one good soul tie. So a soul tie really is a hollow tube that goes from one person to another. Okay? And so what happens here is if I'm feeling down and you're feeling full, then that tube releases life to me. Right? And so when I'm feeling up, and my wife feeling down, I release life to her. That's what produces equity. That's why you nurture one another, love one another, and the grace of God is given to you by the Holy Ghost to actually engage the kingdom together where you become one. You know, one of the greatest things I hate in church is everybody's afraid about talking about sex. My children, by the time they were 9, knew more about sex than what some 14, 15-year-olds did. Because I'm not afraid about talking about it, because I'm not ashamed about it. If you're ashamed about it, it means you've got issues. And so, a soul tie is a way of releasing life to another. And so we have a lot of people that are tied to many people, and you have a drain on your life. So you're sleeping around, and you're tied to a lot of other people. Then what happens is that what's in you drains out to them. And also what's in them drains to you. So if they get involved in occult activity, which is why they sleep around, is so that there's a worldwide web of soul ties that they can actually engage power from everyone else. They don't tell you this in Sunday school. And they don't tell you in sex education about this stuff either. And also what they found, excuse me for getting R18 here, but we just need to know this, and I just I'm going to nail this thing here for a minute, is that they found that the scientific community did a study. They thought that when a man and woman would come together, that the seed of the man would be released out of her with her next period and she'd be cleansed and all that. What they found was actually that didn't happen. They found that the woman's body assimilated the seed into her own body. Wow. And she carries the sound of the man in her DNA. So you've slept around with a number of people while you've got lots of different men living in your body. No wonder it's hard to engage a husband. And so we take woman and guys through deliverance with this stuff, getting them free from some of this stuff that sits inside them. It's not hard. You just got to work your way through it. It doesn't come by, I'm free, Jesus. It actually comes by confession. I have done this. This is my sin. I own this rubbish. I repent of it, renounce it, divorce it, go in the court, judge, get in the court, get the thing, judge, stand there and receive divorce papers from it, and then go and marry Jesus. Get the CD. That soul tie between the Lord and you, where you're joined with Him, is to be vitally connected to Him and everything that He does. I kind of figure we get a better part of the deal. I really do. I kind of figure that God is warm, and I, and when I need some warm, I just engage the tie, and I go, and I feel it's covered. And we're allowed to do that. That's why there is provision in heaven for us. But we need to go where it is to engage it so it can come down here and engage us. Then we can release it to others that are around us. Righteousness is a gift that is imputed to us. Romans 4:6, verse 11. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputes righteousness. David even said that in the Psalms. Imputed means to charge with, or to ascribe with, to or to someone. There's a real interesting kind of progress in James 2:23. Those that believe, it was imputed to them, and then they were called the friends of God. So belief releases imputation of righteousness into you, which actually means forcefully lodged into you without your hindrances being made way to. So when you don't have it and you engage it, God goes, I think you'll have some. Forces it into you. It's like trying to swallow a watermelon. I mean, we used to feed ostrich. I don't know. I mean, we were really naughty. Have anybody, you got swans here, haven't you? You can't kill the swans. No, we never used to kill them. What we used to do was feed them big, long strings of meat. Sausages. And you see them then go. And this whole thing would be going. I mean, it was hilarious. I mean, we didn't have a TV, so we had to make up our own stuff. But righteousness is like that. God will just force it into you until it ends up inside of you and you don't have a choice. Once you engage it, you haven't got a choice. You're going to receive it whether you like it or not. That's what impute means. Forcefully put into. The issue is, do you really want to engage it now? You know, ladies, I really want to honor you. I'm so glad I don't have to birth a watermelon. Sorry, that was really bad, hey? So I'm actually getting a little bit drunk, which is probably part of my problem. I do hold my wine very well, sometimes. Righteousness is a gift. Jesus' death on the cross destroyed the power of sin, but we must deal with the desires of sin. Okay, we've got to deal with the desires to sin. Okay, Jesus has dealt with it, power, but we've got to deal with the desires. Righteousness cannot be earned by fervent religious practices, by a lot of laws to stop you doing what you want to do. You know, we live our life by a whole lot of laws. Do you realize that? I won't do this today. No, I won't. No one will know if I do it, but I won't do it today. I'm going to a conference, so I won't do it today. I mean, can you imagine the fallacy and all that? What on earth has a conference got to do with it? See, holiness is a choice. But you've got to crucify and deal with the desire to engage in iniquity related to sin. We can't live our life. Righteousness isn't about living a whole lot of laws to stop us sinning and focusing on the thing we don't want to do. And because we focus on the thing we don't want to do, we'll do it anyway. So it's actually a waste of time focusing on it and worrying about what you're not going to try and not do. It's not based on our "I won't" today. Righteousness is not based on your "I won'ts." It's a gift given to us by Jesus when he hung on the cross. The cross, as I said today earlier, is a place of exchange. When he died, he took all that we have done, all that we are doing, and all that we ever will be in exchange, where his righteousness becomes ours. But you have got to be willing to exchange it. It isn't just Sunday, Monday, I'm now blessed on Sunday, I get drunk on Monday. Actually, you've got to be willing to take your stuff there and exchange it by acknowledging what you've done. Because without a confession, there's no remission of sin or dealing with sin. Sorry, that was a bit bad sweep there, wasn't it? The most amazing thing I know about righteousness has and always will have power over unrighteousness. Righteousness becomes a gift. Holiness is a choice. Holiness isn't a line in the sand where I'm holy here and I'm unholy here. Okay? Holiness is a choices. That is a direction your life goes into. It's little choices that accumulate to empower you to step over the line. Holiness is making right choices so you don't even go near the line. To hate evil. Righteousness is an armor. It's found in Isaiah 54, 16 to 17. Sorry, 2 Corinthians 6, 4 and 7. But in all things, you're proving ourselves as ministers of God by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and the left. Three things there. Three things speak of government. The primary purpose of armor of righteousness is defense. There's three different armors. We have the armor of light, the armor of righteousness, and the armor of God. Three different armors we need to put in our lives. Okay, one is like chainmail and all the weapons, which is light. Then you got armor of righteousness, which is the outer layer of tin on the outside of a soldier. Then you got chainmail on the inside, which is what righteousness is, so that it stops the piercing of fiery darts and swords coming through the unprotected parts of your life. And then you've got the whole armor of God, which is a nice skin-covering, close, silky thing that sits right next to you. That's the power. Whoa. I get the CD. Listen, the demonic world gets access to us because of our choices in sinning. Sin is what we are. Sinning is what we do. Jesus has dealt with both of those, which those sinning and sin creates an arc that opens up the demonic world for its activity to manifest around your life. So when you get involved in sinning, you're offering an offering to a demonic spirit. I have people in churches who say it's okay to sleep together. It doesn't matter. There's no sin. Really? You need to see what happens in the spiritual world when people do that. You're trading in a demonic platform. Righteousness in any form cannot be earned. In Isaiah 64 verse 6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Righteousness is given to us by grace and the mercy of God. That's why the Bible says, come boldly to my throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy and help in the time of my need. I want you to see your needs right at the end, because by the time you've gone to the throne and you've got grace and mercy and help, you don't even worry about your need because all the provision's already been given. And so I can remember going into the presence of the Lord with a list of stuff. I don't know about you, but there's times when I've encountered the person of God and I go in with a list. I've got questions I want to ask. I really have. I've got serious questions. Like, why doesn't Adam have a belly button? I mean, simple, serious questions like that. I mean, not really, but I was just... Sorry, I thought that was funny. Only half of you laughed, so you guys just don't have a sense of humor. I think you really need to repent. But I do. I mean, I've got serious questions like, what were you before you were? You know, before the was, what was it? I mean, those kind of questions. You've got to be really careful what you ask for. Because we really got no reference for what was before the was. And even going through what was is bad enough, let alone what was before the was really in the was. That's what I said, if I was really to start talking about things I'm doing now, people would really fry. No. So how do I begin to exercise this realm? I'm just going to try and finish in the next 5 minutes. Holy Spirit, help me. So how do I engage this to become a practical experience? Number one is you've got to acknowledge that you cannot earn it by yourself. Number two, you've got to repent of trying to earn it. When you being self-centered and self-righteous about the gift that is given, instead of receiving a gift, we try and perform so we can feel better to receive a gift. Yeah. And often we reject the gift offered to us because we actually want to feel like we've had to earn it. Number three, you've got to receive it by faith. Listen, I dream. I sit there at home. I've got a blanket at home. It's called my blankie. And what I do is I take my blankie and I put it over my head. And I drape myself in my blankie. And what I do is I'm praying in the spirit, engaging a reality that I'm covered in a garment, cloaked from my head down to my feet. I'm shrouded in the realm of the glory of the righteousness of my Father, received by impartation when I step into His world. Now, let me tell you, that makes you feel a little bit better when you start to engage like that. Because it gives you a sensation of what it really means to be covered in righteousness. I do simple things like this that activate the kingdom world, that unlock the potential reality to release that power to me and on my behalf. Got to dream about it. Sorry about my blankie, but it's just cute. You know, those huggy things. I don't know. Have you ever seen those great big things they have now? They call them huggies. It's like this blanket thing you kind of fit into, you know, and you wrap it around you. And you, my daughter's got one. And I, when she gets into the thing, I can't see her. It's like, and all you see is these little beady eyes kind of looking out through the blanket. Well, that's what it's like. When you've got righteousness on, the enemy cannot see you. You become invisible. And he goes, I can't see. That's really good, because that's when you give him a hiding. Yeah. You've got to allow your mind to contemplate what it would be like when you dream to live in the power of righteousness. We've got to receive it by faith, by dreaming about it, by engaging it. We've got to be thankful that we are able to receive it. We enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. See, before you can go to court, you've got to be thankful, because his righteousness, it empowers you to go to court. Help me, Jesus. Nearly done. The big issue is that God is already dwelling in me and in my tent. My problem is to let him out. I've got to let him out through the process of my spirit, soul, body. Understanding I am a spirit being that has a soul that lives in a physical body. God is calling us to receive his kingdom, and that kingdom's foundation exists on righteousness. Without it, no man shall see God. Let's stand on our feet. Because I believe in practice, and we've only done one practice session. I was really funny because I was planning on four sessions tomorrow, and I realized we only had one this morning, and so I had four other things I wanted to do. We can't do, so I'm just going to shortcut everything to one session tomorrow, which is the main one I want to do anyway. And so, but because we haven't had much practice, we're going to practice a bit. And so our practice is this. We've got to believe that the kingdom of heaven is as close to me as the air that I breathe. And when I can step through that veil, I can enter his world and begin to receive all that he has there for me while I can be in that world. And so when Jesus died, he really did tear that veil. So if he really did tear that veil and is as close to me as the air that I breathe, then I've been given entry into that which is within the veil to receive the gift that is within that veil. But I've got to go to within the veil to receive the gift. And so I want you to take a small step forwards. Take a small step backwards. Small step forwards. Close your eyes. Small step backwards. Small step forwards. It's all good to see you dancing now. Small step backwards. No, not really. Take some more step backwards. Now, I want you to keep your eyes closed. In front of you is a veil that Jesus tore open to give you entry into his kingdom. That's why he died, was to rend that veil to give you access to the domain of his kingdom. That kingdom is as close to me as the air that I breathe. I've got to believe in faith that I can step through that. And because I believe in faith, I'm going to use my body to step forward through that veil. So, Father, today, by faith, we step through. Take a small step forward. We step through that veil into the realm of your presence in the kingdom of the earth. Father, we stand here today and we receive the gift of righteousness, a garment that you put over my life. I ask, Father, you would remove every false covering, every covering I've ever put over my life to shroud why I'm here and what's going on with my life, Father, to make an image and present an image that has nothing to do with who I really am. Today, Lord, I strip those off willingly as a living sacrifice, and I receive from you a new garment of righteousness. Father, I receive it out of your kingdom world today as impartation. Father, I ask that you'd force it around me as I engage it today willfully. Lord, I thank you. I receive it by faith. Lord, I'm cloaked in righteousness. Father, today, in the name of Jesus, I step back out of your world. Take a step back out of the realm of your presence into the realm of the atmosphere of this earth. And today, Lord, into this atmosphere, I administrate the righteousness of the glory of God, Lord, that destroys every yoke of the desire to be involved in sinning. Father, I release that righteousness into the very core of my being, into every cell, into every DNA structure and molecule of my body, that it would hear that righteousness is going to reign within my life. Lord, that the force fields that I am engaged with, the practical process of the electrical energy that flows into my body, would hear the sound of the voice of God, that I am made righteous before my Father, that sin has no more hold on me because I stand righteous before my Father. Lord, I receive it today into every life circumstance, Father, that you empower me to walk into victory because the kingdom of God is within me. The kingdom of heaven is on the outside of me. And as I step into your world, you empower me to bring your world, Father, into this one. In Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Amen. Wowee. Doesn't that feel good?
Yeah.
See, we've got to practice. Listen, just because you don't see all the fireworks, the boom, and all the colored lights going all off, doesn't mean to say it doesn't happen. See, everything requires faith to learn the pathway so you can engage revelation at the end of the pathway. But you've got to start somewhere. So, tomorrow morning, practice! You know, the average Christian prays for 5 minutes a day. It's not a very good relationship. So, tomorrow morning, do 5 minutes of stepping in, engaging, bringing out, administering, stepping in, engaging, bringing out, administrating. Practice! Amen. Have a wonderful evening. Praise the Lord.